rather impressive story. Rather impressive story of God's power today, eh? Fire from the sky, consuming this offering on this altar, this soaked offering on an altar. It's actually a soaked offering on an altar in the midst of a drought, but that's a story for another day. Sort of thing tends to stick out in your mind. That story does not normally show up, I believe, during the usual series of readings, the old series we used to use. And yet many of you have heard that story before, because it's the story that stands out in your brain. Guy makes an altar. Guy puts wooden bowl on altar. Guy says, God, burn this, please. And it happens. You can't help but hear that and think to yourself, well, yeah, it makes sense that the response of the people to seeing that was, whoa, the Lord indeed is God. Because, I mean, that happens. What else are you going to say? I'm not impressed yet. Show me something else. That was a nice first try. It was a nice, you know, appetizer. But show me something more impressive. Then I'll say the Lord indeed is God. That's been a big thing to see, right? Everybody nod your head. Yes, Pastor Chris, would have been a good thing to see. Remember, it's the easiest way to get me to keep going. Nod your head. Lutheran equivalent to going, amen. It's this huge display of God's power. And obviously, immediately after this, after this tremendous display of God's power, we know that the immediate response of the people was to fall in line, to bow down, to worship God, and to never again stray, right? I mean, obviously, because they had this amazing thing happen right in front of them, this amazing display of God's power. Obviously, that's what happened, right? The story got passed down from generation to generation, and never again did the people say, I'm not convinced, I'm going to go worship a golden calf. No, you're right, that isn't what happened at all. Memory faded. Time went by. King Ahab was replaced by his son, King Ahaziah, who continued to worship Baal. Ahaziah was replaced by his brother, Jehoram, who we are told in 2 Kings did, quote, what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He was replaced by Jehu, who continues to allow the people to worship the golden calves. He gets replaced by Jehoahaz, whose people continue to worship idols. He gets replaced by Jehoash, same idols. And so on, until in 722 BC, the whole kingdom just falls to the Assyrians. It was an amazing display. I'm not taking anything away from that. It is an amazing display. But it didn't fix everything. It was impressive, but it didn't fix everything. Because the people continued to wander away. In the time of the judges, before this, before there were kings, in the time of the judges, when the people cried out to God saying, we want a human king just like every other people. Give us a human king just like every other people. God said, this is not going to go well for you. I understand what you're going for here, but this is not going to end well. No, people said, please. We want a human king. We want to be just like every other nation. They got to be like just every other nation. Their kings failed them time and time and time and time and time again. And the people wandered time and time and time and time again. How many big signs, how many big wonders, sometimes we use the word miracle, how many of those can you think of in Scripture? There's at least two, right? Maybe three, four, five, a couple more than that. What comes to mind? I'm honestly asking you something from Scripture that you go, wow, that's impressive.
Rainbow.
Rainbow, that's impressive. After the flood. The feeding of the 5,000. That's impressive. Side note, feeding of the 5,000, only wonder sign by Jesus that shows up in all four Gospels. Oh, healing the blind. Resurrections. All this stuff, right? Did any of those, for lack of a better term, quote, fix people's faith for good? No. Judy agrees. No, it didn't. Faith that lasts. Faith that lasts can't demand big, ostentatious displays for its foundation. Faith that lasts can't be built on that. That's not what satisfies it. You can't prove faith. It's not a geometry problem. You can work your way through the proof and at the end say, yes, I can prove this. Take this story at face value for a moment. Whether you or not you do, just take it at face value. Take every big, awesome sign of God's power in the Bible and take it literally, and still it will not, quote, fix everyone's faith. It will not convince everyone of God's presence, let alone God's love. Let alone God's forgiveness. Let alone God's offer of something more meaningful in life. Heck, let's go on a tangent for a moment. Let's be honest with ourselves that even just within the Christian community alone, we're not all that great at remembering God's love. God's forgiveness. God's command to love and care about each other. Because that's what happens when people need something concrete. To assure themselves of something that isn't concrete. There's never enough proof. This display by Elijah is amazing. It's fantastic. And before a generation has passed, it will fade into just oral story. It will have that huge impact. We see the people bow down and say, "The Lord indeed is God." But if you keep reading the book, you know that that just lasts for like a chapter. And every time we have one of those amazing displays of God's power in the Bible, it lasts for like a chapter or two. Maybe, if you're really lucky, an entire book. And then the people say, I wasn't there. I need my burning altar moment. How come I don't get to see a bush on fire? Faith is not easy. And I can see where it is seductive to think to ourselves that if we only had signs like that, then people would understand. Then people would believe. Pastor Chris could go out in the parking lot, build an altar, and call down God's fire, then all of Shoreline would say, you know what? Something's going on over there. They don't have a burning permit. But it wouldn't actually work. We see that all throughout Scripture. I'm not just saying the me calling down fire part. I can't do that. But it wouldn't be enough to change hearts and souls and minds. Because we see that all throughout Scripture. Big sign, big wonder, big miracle, if you want to use that term, leads to this temporary boost in faith. Then the people drift. How many of you got your flu shots this year? Good on you. Good job. How many of you got one last year? The year before. But if you got one once, shouldn't that be enough? Shouldn't that have just fixed it all for you? No. It's not how it works. With that, it's because there's all these different types of flus, right? The big sign, the big miracle, the flaming altar of fiery doom is not enough. It's impressive, don't get me wrong. It worked in that moment, don't get me wrong. But the people strayed again. As Paul writes in his letter to the Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. Faith knows, for lack of a better term, faith knows even when the evidence is not there yet. Faith isn't because of the evidence, it's despite the lack thereof. It's knowing that it will be there eventually. Faith knows even when the evidence is not there yet. I say yet, because ultimately God is faithful. God does provide. As I have said to you many times around here, we've been through a lot. As a community of faith, we have been through a lot. Just this year alone, we have been through a lot. And I have full 100% faith that whatever route our future as a congregation takes, we will, with God's help and God's blessing, continue to build something amazing. I have full 100% faith in that. I have no soaking wet altar. I have no burnt offering from the sky to show you, to prove that. I have no concrete proof to give you yet. Yet. But I don't need them. Because I have full and 100% faith in God's work through this community of faith. As Jesus said to Thomas in the Gospel of John, "Do you believe because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe." Blessed be the ministry of this community of faith known as Bethel Lutheran Church. And blessed be the future of that ministry, whatever form it takes. Let us pray. O good, gracious, and holy Lord, you have given us so much. And we continue to walk forward knowing that you are guiding us into something beautiful. We ask you to give us strength. We ask you to give us wisdom. We ask you to give us patience. We ask all of these things knowing that we are walking in your way, knowing that we are being called into something that will be beyond our wildest dreams. We give you thanks for the opportunities. We give you thanks for the challenges and the growth that we have had from them. We ask you to continue to help us to go forward, knowing that we are on our way to something marvelous. We pray all these things, O God, trusting in you, having faith in you, and knowing that all of this is done in your name and through your will. We pray this trusting in your holy name. Amen.